Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Well, Jack Smith is up to it again, his dirty trick. So is Judge Chukin. And the, I'm not going to say special prosecutor. He's a psychopath obsessed with Trump, but he is an attorney. Jack Smith going after Trump. New on ceilings today on a Friday, of course. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. It is Friday, baby. And I'm here. Shocking, I know. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. We got a big show for you lined up today. Dinesh D'Souza's coming on, Dr. Wilfred Riley, EJ Antoni, going to talk to my buddy Linda Kearns. We got a big, big day. I know there's a lot of questions about voter integrity, election integrity, as we have early voting is underway in Pennsylvania. So we're going to try to address all the questions that you have. If you have any, shoot it my way. We are streaming live on YouTube right now. You can join the fun in our YouTube chat, or you can certainly hit me up on X at Rich Zeoli. And the Al Smith dinner last night, look, I'm sorry, but Trump crushed it. Crushed it. It was hysterical. He was great. And what a, I don't want to say missed opportunity for Kamala Harris. That's not the right word. I mean, it was a disaster for her not to be there. A disaster. And then they tried to do this pathetic Saturday Night Live style skit, which was just offensive and not funny, by the way. And I don't get this campaign. I really don't understand this campaign. I just don't. Jim Gaffigan was on fire last night, roasting Kamala Harris, roasting the Democrat Party in general, going after them for the coup against Joe Biden. My favorite joke from Gaffigan last night was when he said, we keep hearing all these warnings about Trump as a danger to democracy from the party that staged a coup against the duly elected Democrat incumbent president. And I just thought fantastic stuff. So we're going to talk about that. I got a ton of great audio for you from the dinner last night, from Trump, from Jim Gaffigan. And in the middle of all this right now, there's a story that just came out a short time ago about Rachel Levine, how she must go. And it's written by Andrew Sullivan. Now, just so you know who Andrew Sullivan is, Andrew Sullivan is a writer. He's gay. He's been very against the whole transgender children thing. Because shockingly, not everybody in the LGBTQ+IA, every letter of the alphabet coalition, thinks it's okay to do this stuff to our children, despite what the left has you believe. And Sullivan has been very outspoken, as have other gay people, by the way, about how barbaric this is to our children. So he's saying that Dr. Rachel Levine, Admiral, I think you have to say that by law now, of course, the former Pennsylvania Secretary of Health, must go. I'll give you details into why Andrew Sullivan wrote that today over at Substack. And a story about how the Democrats are panicking over Harris's Latino support, or lack thereof, because there is no Latino support, and that's the problem. She doesn't have any. I mean, she's lost them. The coalitions are just evaporating before our eyes. It really is amazing. But Justin, if you could pot up Fox News for me, President Trump is speaking, future President Trump is speaking in Michigan right now. I just want to dip in here and take a listen.
History, and that's Kamala. She was the border czar. I watched her make a fool out of herself with Brett Baer. She was the border czar. She doesn't know what she's doing. This is a woman that doesn't have a clue. Frankly, I think they should put back Biden. And now, based on the numbers, I think I'm doing better against her than I am against Biden. So maybe Biden will go back. They'll do it a third time.
What does it mean to have a Democratic Muslim mayor
endorsing
here in Michigan?
Well, it's an honor. I mean, frankly, it's an honor. I've got a lot of endorsements from Arab Americans, from a lot of people. So that's a great honor.
Do you think it'll move the
field
for Arab Americans?
Well, I don't think they're going to be voting for her because she doesn't know what she's doing. So I don't see them voting for her. I don't see a lot of people voting for her. She's not a smart person.
Mr. President, will you release your health records?
Yeah. My health records, I've done 5 exams over the last 4 years. You you've got them all. Obviously, I'm in the middle of a very big and very contentious fight. We're leading. I've given my health exams. I've also done cognitive tests twice, and I've aced them, meaning a perfect score. I want to see her do a cognitive test because she couldn't ace because she wasn't born smart. All right, thank you, everybody.
She wasn't born smart. All right, thank you, Justin. Appreciate that. So he's getting endorsed by a Democrat Muslim mayor in Michigan. How about that, huh? How about that? So I'm going to talk about that with you as well. That's a big deal. That's a very, very big deal. And then the black support for Kamala Harris, which is just evaporating before her eyes. This rapper who came out the other day and just trashed her. You heard what Stephen A. Smith said yesterday. I played it on the show. We might even play it again today. Going after Barack Obama for his lecturing of the brothers. Oh, you know what? I think Trump is he taking questions here? Justin, is he taking some questions here? I might want to jump back in.
Fox cut away from it.
Really? Okay, maybe I'm behind here.
Stream or something.
I might be behind. Oh yeah, I am behind. Sorry about that. Okay, that's my fault. I must have paused the TV at some point. All right. So let me tell you about this Democrat mayor who's backing Trump. And this is, again, this is a big deal. So the Democrat Party of the Democrat mayor of the only Muslim-run city in the United States of America has endorsed Donald Trump, giving him a boost in the must-win state of Michigan. In a surprising political turn, Amir Ghalib, the mayor of Hamtramck, Michigan, threw his support behind Trump's bid for the White House in the 2024 presidential election. He said on Sunday that the Republican candidate is a man of principle and the right choice for this critical time, despite their disagreements on some key policy issues. Quote, though it's looking good, he may or may not win the election and may be the 47th president of the United States. I'll not regret my decision, no matter what the outcome would be. And I'm ready to face the consequences. For this, and for many other reasons, I announce my support and endorsement of the former and hopefully the next president of the United States, Donald Trump. Despite acknowledging some disagreements with the former president, Ghalib highlighted Trump's principles and his potential to address pressing issues. This is a city near Detroit. It's notable for its Muslim leadership and population, with over 40% of its residents being of the Muslim faith. Remember, part of the reason why Kamala Harris did not pick Josh Shapiro to be her running mate is because she was worried about upsetting Muslims in Michigan because he's Jewish. And the Democrat Party obviously stereotypes everybody, so they just assume, well, obviously we see these nutbags on college campuses like the University of Michigan, and they're protesting Israel, and they're saying Genocide Joe, so therefore every Muslim must feel that same way as the whack jobs in the squad like Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, the brother lover. You know, so every Muslim must feel the same way, so therefore we got to stay away from a Jewish guy being our running mate. That decision to not pick Shapiro, as dumb as the decision not to go to the Al Smith dinner last night, but dumb for a bunch of other reasons. I told you, Shapiro is pulling his punches big time. He sees an opening in 24. He's going to run in 28, excuse me. He sees the opening there. He doesn't want her in there. No way. And I don't blame him, by the way. I don't blame him. See, people in politics are very self-interested. And Shapiro thinks he's got a shot. Now, whether or not he does or not is not the point. 4 years from now is a million years in political lives. Like you have dog lives, your political lives, a million years from now. But the campaign will start in 2 years. 2 years from now, people will be lining up in New Hampshire and Iowa and South Carolina to speak and go to Democrat dinners and county fairs. I told you and eat fried butter, and Shapiro wants to do that. But the decision by the Harris campaign to not pick him because he's Jewish, because they were worried about Muslim voters in Michigan. Because their inability to look at people as individuals and to just put them all in a group and to think that everybody in that group thinks the same way. So therefore, if you are Muslim, you must think like whack job Rashida Tlaib. You must think like whack job Ilhan Omar, the brother lover. You must think that way. When you tell people that that's not the case, they don't understand. So this guy is a Democrat mayor of a Democrat city with Muslim leadership. He's a Muslim. The population is Muslim. And there you go. Ghalib's endorsement follows a private meeting with Trump during which they discussed various issues, including concerns about Arab and Yemeni Americans. Ghalib believes that Trump, despite his contentious policies regarding immigration and sanctuary cities, this is from Newsweek, his contentious policies. What an objective word, Newsweek. Offers a pragmatic approach to key challenges facing the country. According to Arab News, the city is more than 60% Muslim, with immigrants from Yemen and Bangladesh constituting the largest populations. Trump told Breitbart News that he was excited that Ghalib endorsed his campaign. He said, I was very impressed with him, and he was a very big fan of the Trump administration because he saw no wars outside of defeating ISIS, but I inherited that, and there were no wars. There was no October 7th. There was no Russian attack on Ukraine. He sees that, and he told me he saw a world that was at peace. Now we have a world that's going to end up in World War III, and I can stop that. I'm the only one that's going to stop that. So very Hitler, am I right? Very Hitlerian to say he wants to stop World War III and bring peace to the world. Just like Hitler after he invaded Poland. Muslims across the nation overwhelmingly favored Joe Biden 4 years ago, with 86% backing the president and just 6% supporting Donald Trump. However, Muslim voters recently told Newsweek they have doubts over supporting Vice President Kamala Harris amid outrage over the war in Gaza from the Muslim community. During Trump's administration, he received criticism from Democrats and human rights groups over his anti-Muslim policies. What anti-Muslim policies are they talking about? The so-called Muslim ban. Remember how they freaked out about that in January of 2017? Officially titled Protecting the Nation from Foreign Terrorist Entry into the United States, the policy restricted entry into the United States for citizens from 7 predominantly Muslim countries: Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. It was not a Muslim ban. It was a ban on people coming from, and it was a temporary ban, on people coming from those countries. And ultimately, it would go with a tighter threshold for people coming from those countries. But it wasn't a Muslim ban. If you were a Muslim coming from, say, the United Kingdom, you were not banned from coming into the United States of America. It faced widespread criticism. Don't you love it going back to 2017? It's like, here's Newsweek. All right, so you got this Muslim mayor in this Muslim city that's backing Trump. What do we do? What do we do? Bring back the Muslim ban thing. Bring back the Muslim ban story. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket right there. That's what we'll do. It faced widespread criticism as discriminatory and unconstitutional, sparking protests and legal battles. In response, revised versions were issued, and in 2020, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld a version of the ban. Critics argued it targeted Muslims, while supporters claimed it was necessary for national security. I mean, I'm just going to go on a limb here and just say, for the record, if you were having people over for dinner to your house, I know the hate has no home here, people who all live behind fences and gates in typically gated communities. I don't know how many of them would want people from Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen coming over for dinner. Oh, you know what's not on the list? Saudi Arabia. That's interesting. Dubai is not on the list. Wow, weird. Other countries with Muslim populations like Turkey wasn't on the list. That's just so strange for a Muslim ban to miss a predominantly Muslim country like Turkey and Saudi Arabia and Dubai and Qatar and Oman. And I could go on and on, but I'm not going to. Anyway, this mayor backs Trump and they're all freaking out. Like, wait a second. Dust off the old attack point on him being a Muslim hater. Where's that guy from the Democrat National Convention to hold up the Constitution? That's just good for Trump. Michigan is a state. I think he's going to win this election. I think he's going to win Michigan. I think he's going to win Pennsylvania. This is 2016 all over again. This is not 2020 in every respect. In every respect, including the fact that the Republican Party this time around, the Trump campaign this time around, they are prepared for every scenario you can imagine. So I've been getting all kinds of texts today from people, tweets and things. You know, they've seen this on Twitter. They've seen that. First of all, there are letters going around to Trump supporters in Pennsylvania threatening you, and they're outright illegal intimidation threats. This is not protected speech by the First Amendment. The advice from my friend Linda Kearns, who's going to be on the show later today, and the Republican National Convention Committee, is if you get one of these letters, call the police. Try not to handle it. Put it into a Ziploc bag. They're going to try to dust it for fingerprints and figure out who's behind all this. And hopefully we'll get some clarity on that. I've also heard about the election machines. We're going to talk about the election machines. There's still that issue in Pennsylvania where some people are getting the ballots mailed to them. And then the secrecy envelope, as it's known, where you have to put your ballot into the outer secrecy envelope, and it's coming already pre-sealed. It's not supposed to be pre-sealed, and they're blaming humidity, as if this is Key West in July. It's freaking Pennsylvania in October. What humidity? What, were they on a bunch of cigar humidors before they were sent out? Of course not. And notice that every bill you've gotten recently, if you still do, I get every bill by mail because I miss the emails and I get late fees. So I noticed whenever there's a return envelope, surprisingly, this is shocking, somehow, and I don't know why, none of those envelopes are ever sealed shut. I'm just as amazed as you are. So the advice then is please try to deliver that ballot to the Board of Elections if you can. But every scenario imaginable, they are on top of. There's lawyers standing by. There's court challenges ready to go. I promise you, because I get the notes from people constantly asking me and saying, you know, they're going to steal it. They're going to try to cheat. Of course they're going to try to cheat. Of course they're going to try to steal it. And of course, dead people will rise on Halloween and vote. It's what happens every time in Philadelphia and Camden and other places. But this time around, they're prepared for all of this, which is great. The other point, too, is that I think in Michigan, what the Democrats were banking on here was Gretchen Whitmer. And I guess they're on their Offend Every Catholic in America tour right now, because there was that weird, creepy video, I'm sure you've seen it by now, of the Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer. And this podcast host is on her knees. And Whitmer feeds her a Dorito in the manner of her receiving the Eucharist. And it's weird, and it's sacrilegious, and it's also kind of like weird fetishistic. Kinky, bizarre, okay? Bizarre. It's like something you'd see on a site you're not supposed to look at work, to be quite frankly honest with you. Or at least the setup to a scene you're about to not see at work. That offended a lot of Catholics. And then Kamala Harris skips the Al Smith dinner. But they were counting on Gretchen Whitmer to deliver Michigan. And the EV workers out there, the auto workers out there, see the EV mandates and they go, I'm not voting for her. No friggin' way. They're going to push these EV mandates on us. I'm going to be out of a job because it takes less auto workers to build EVs. That's why you see companies are already laying off auto workers in Michigan. Like, I'm not doing this. And in Pennsylvania, same situation with people in fracking and energy in general and the economy in general, too. Catholics make up, as Jim Gaffigan pointed out, 28% of the vote out there, which is a big number. So then why would Kamala Harris not go to the Al Smith dinner, which is a tradition? And remember, the only person to not go to the Al Smith dinner was Walter Mondale. I'm no history guy. I don't think it worked out well for Walter Mondale. I may have to double check that. He might have lost a state or two. 49, to be exact. I was off on my math. Yeah, I said he might have lost a state or two. Turns out he lost 49 states. So I don't know, some may call that a landslide. But I don't want to judge, you know, Reagan winning 49 states and him winning one. You could say is a landslide, but I'm not Stevie Nicks, you know. Anyway, so that was a really dumb move by her, big time. And now this Muslim mayor comes out and backs Trump in the middle of this war with Israel fighting Hamas and the terrorists. And because the Democrats don't know which way to go on this issue, and they're trying to play both sides of this, and because they think the whack jobs on college campuses represent every Democrat out there, every Muslim person out there, they've decided to try to play both sides on this. And you may have a lot of the angry Muslims who think that the war in what Israel's doing and the support from this administration, even though we find it to be frustrating how they keep trying to tie Netanyahu's hands, they may not show up and vote. Trump's bleeding. I mean, Trump is killing her with support among black voters in cities like Detroit, Michigan. But you got black barbers who are like, the economy stinks, man. It was great under Trump. Bottom line. You know, a guy who owns a black barber shop in Detroit, Michigan, he knows things were better under Trump. Trump doesn't have to win the black vote in Michigan. He's not going to, but he doesn't have to. He just has to cut into it enough. When all these other factors add up, she loses Michigan, she loses Pennsylvania, he wins the White House, and he's president again. So, smart move by this mayor, no doubt about that. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, and mark November 9th on the calendar for his free Veterans Breakfast and Community Shredding event, a day to honor our heroes at his Cinnaminson office on Riverton Road. VeneriaDental.com. VeneriaDental.com. All right, coming up, great show for today. A lot of audio from the Al Smith dinner. Jack Smith is at it again with his election interference. And why is Andrew Sullivan saying Rachel Levine must go? Why she has to resign? It's Friday. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bless me. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The cough button. I could have hit it, but I didn't reach it in time. But it is right next to me. But now that sneeze came out of nowhere. It must be time for another allergy shot. Justin, by the way, you're doing a great job with the music and handling everything in DeSantis's absence. In fact, I don't think we need DeSantis to come back.
Well, let's not go that far.
I think we should go that far. And Kirk, excellent job with the streaming so far today. Thank Knock you. On wood. Everything goes well. We're going to try to stream with Dr. E.J. Antoni and with Dinesh D'Souza, maybe even Wilfred Riley. We're going to try. So fingers crossed. And thank you to our YouTube community for streaming along the show. If you're not, go to YouTube.com/1210WPHD and join in the action. All right. Join in the party. It's hard to believe a week ago we were live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We had so much fun. We're going to be back there December 20th for our next live show. This week has actually flown by. The next couple weeks are going to fly by, too, because we're obviously almost to Election Day. Thank God. This is almost over. But I asked a question earlier of somebody regarding when will we know the answer to who won Pennsylvania? And we may not know till Wednesday morning. We may not. And I just want to point that out because I know that we're hearing stories about that, and then that people think that, well, that means there's going to be cheating. And not necessarily, and they're going to try, but there are RNCs all over it. All you got to do, look, you can only do your part. You can only control what you can control. So get your voter registration. Make sure you do that. Make sure you vote. And try to vote early if you can. It really would be a big help. All right. So what is the latest election interference that Jack Smith is doing? Well, Judge Chutkan released some filings earlier today, and the election is in a little over 2 weeks. I mean, Halloween is 2 weeks from yesterday. It's hard to believe. This is just flying by right now. And Patrick and I went out for wings last night. We went over to the Halloween store, got his Halloween costume, had a great night bonding, me and my buddy. And next week, I'm going to take Claire out on a date, take her to the Halloween store, get her. You know, we're trying to do homemade costumes as best we can, but, you know, the times are tough. Like, when I was a kid, Mama Zioli would take me to CVS, and I'd get that cheap plastic, you know, it was like a cheap mask, and then that smock thing that just had the costume on it. So if I was Batman, you know, it'd be like a cheap plastic mask and then a smock, basically, with like Batman, you know. And it was like a dollar. I'm trying to do a little bit better. But, man, these Halloween costumes, holy cow, how expensive these friggin' things are. I had no idea. When we go to the store yesterday, I'm looking around, I'm like, $50 for a kid's Halloween costume? Are you kidding me? Thank God with Reagan, we have all these princess dresses and costumes. Actually, Dawn Stensland gave me a ton of costumes years ago. I mean, they're boys' costumes because she has boys. But nevertheless, you know, Reagan could be like a firefighter, princess combination. Claire wants to be a cat. We can kind of pretty much make that a go, but I still got to take her to the store and take her on a date and, you know, do the special dad thing with her and get her the kitty, you know, the kitty ears. You got to do that, obviously. But I mean, even Halloween costumes, brutal. We have not bought Halloween candy because thank God nobody really trick or treats at our house. And it's hard to with the moat of alligators and the gun turrets, but we do go trick or treating in our neighborhood with some friends. Obviously, all the adults will be not drinking. There will only be water in their Stanleys. Those friggin' trendy bottles. I don't get that. I don't understand why anybody pays $40 for a bottle that holds water or vodka or both. But either way. So we'll be doing that, you know, obviously. But in terms of the kids and the candy, I don't know what. I'm sure that's gone up, too. Just haven't had to buy any yet. But everything's expensive. And everybody's feeling this. Everybody is feeling this pinch right now. And that's why the economy is still the number one issue. Jack Smith is hell-bent on seeing Donald Trump lose. Lizzo is going to be hitting the campaign trail with Kamala Harris in the next several weeks. Lizzo. That's how desperate they're getting. So Smith and Judge Tanya Chutkan released some of the previously, and a lot of it is still redacted, filings in the case related to January 6th, 2.5 weeks before an election. I want to read you the statement that the Trump campaign put out because, I mean, there's, you know, this kind of stuff happens on a Friday and you say to yourself, it's just, it's, you know, it's unbelievable. So the Trump campaign put out a statement slamming this as what it is, which is a witch hunt. And here's what the campaign said. I'll read you the statement first. I'm going to say what the judge said. Radical Democrats are hell-bent on interfering in the presidential election on behalf of lying Kamala Harris. With just over 2 weeks until Election Day, President Trump is dominating this race, and crazed liberals throughout the deep state are freaking out. As mandated by the Supreme Court's historic decision on presidential immunity and other vital jurisprudence, this entire case is a sham and a partisan, unconstitutional witch hunt that should be dismissed entirely. As should all of the remaining Democrat hoaxes. The majority of pages released to the public remain under seal and are not viewable by the public. Much of the unsealed material has been previously released in some form, blah, blah, blah. Now, this is what the judge is using as her justification for this, okay? The judge is arguing that if she doesn't release this information now, with 2 weeks to go until Election Day, that somehow that's going to be viewed as election interference. I kid you not. I kid you not. That's what the judge said. This is a quote from the judge. All right? If the court withheld information that the public otherwise had a right to access solely because of the potential political consequences of releasing it, that withholding could constitute or appear to be election interference. You believe that? So their argument for releasing all these documents now with 2.5 weeks to go before the election is that if they didn't do that, it'd be election interference. Trump is an innocent man. I mean, literally, under the eyes of the law, he's an innocent man. He's a defendant. The United States of America has charged him with crimes, but he's still a defendant with constitutional rights. He is the Republican nominee for president of the United States of America, and the election is a little over 2 weeks. Now, I'm no attorney, although I do play one on TV, a dashing, handsome attorney who handles divorce cases and winds up getting convertible Maseratis out of the deal. Actually, that's my friend Ricky Michelle, and he doesn't have my hair. But regardless, I'm not an attorney, but what I do know about civil liberties is that the government and the judge, particularly, not the government as much, but the judge, has a responsibility to protect the constitutional rights of the defendant. How does it help a defendant, in this case, Donald Trump, to release all this information now with 2 weeks to go before the election? How does it help him as either a citizen or as a candidate? And remember, under our form of government, since this is a constitutional republic, and any citizen who meets the constitutional requirements, which are very low, you got to be 35 years old and you got to be born in the United States, you got to live here for a certain period of time, and that's it, can run for president. How does it serve the interest of protecting the civil liberties of the defendant to release information with a little over 2 weeks before Election Day? See, it seems to me, and again, I'm no lawyer, it seems to me that that's actually not in the defendant's best interest here. Considering he's an innocent man, and this is a charge that the government is leveling against him, and that's all it is, a charge. That's all it is. Jack Smith, and he's not a special counsel, he's an obsessed psychopath who boils bunnies on his stove with Donald Trump's faces on them. No, it is, really. Guy's obsessed. It's Fatal Attraction Attorney Edition. He's obsessed with Trump. How does it... he has raised charges. That's all the United States of America has done. They have leveled charges against Donald Trump, no different than any other person who's a defendant. And the judge has an obligation to ensure that his constitutional and civil liberties are protected. So she says, all right, with 2.5 weeks to go before an election, I'm going to release all the stuff the government thinks you did. And that's going to be because I got your back. Really? Really? She added that the court would continue keeping political considerations out of decisions, despite the defendant's request. They just chew on that for a moment here. Just let that go down, shall we? The judge says that the court would continue keeping political considerations out of decisions, despite the defendant's request. That's adorable. This judge is hell-bent on getting Trump. Jack Smith is hell-bent on getting Trump. And if you care about civil liberties and if you care about the Constitution and our rule of law, which says that you are an innocent person until you are convicted by a jury of your peers, then every single effort should be made to avoid any appearance of election impropriety and anything that could be done in the middle of early voting to hurt citizen Donald Trump's chances of winning the White House. And to be judged guilty in the mind of the public and the voters. Because that's what they're trying to do, of course. They want the public to be the judge and jury in this case and not vote for Trump. That's what the judge wants. That's what the special prosecutor, the obsessed lawyer, Jack Smith, wants. He's not a special prosecutor. He's never confirmed by the Senate. There is no special prosecutor statute that he is conforming to. He's just a whack job. Hell-bent on getting Donald Trump. He's obsessed. Like a psycho ex-girlfriend. Obsessed. Had a few of those over the years before he got married. So I know what I'm talking about there. But and one of them was a lawyer, too, ironically enough. But my point is this. The judge knows damn well that what she's trying to do here is to make the voters in early voting and then heading up to Election Day decide Trump's guilt and then not vote for him. It is not the job of the judge or the court to release information that's damaging to a defendant so that in the court of public opinion, that person can be tried. That is not how our system of justice is supposed to work. In fact, there should be greater safeguards that the defendant's right as a citizen to seek political office are protected. And if there's no trial going on, what the hell is the rush in releasing all these documents? Why couldn't that wait until November 6th or 7th? What is the rush? And the only answer you can come back to, the only answer you can reach if you're a logical person is because they want people in the court of public opinion to decide that he's guilty. That's it. Bottom line. That's it. And then not vote for him. And that's what really frustrates me. It really, really frustrates me about this in such a way. And I just, where's the ACLU? Where are all the so-called civil libertarians in the country right now coming up and screaming and saying, you know what? Leave out the fact that Donald Trump is a guy you hate. He's still a citizen. He still has a right to his Fifth Amendment rights of due process. And he still has a right to run for office without the Department of Justice interfering to try him in the court of public opinion so that he loses the race, so that Jack Smith can then bring this to trial and find him guilty before Trump has an ability to pardon himself. Again, that's exactly what they're trying to do here. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. The Jack Smith dinner last night was great. And I'll tell you what, Trump crushed it. Got a lot of great audio for you. Jim Gaffigan crushed it, too. And man, did he make fun of the Democrat Party last night. It was beautiful. But, you know, we talk about safety. We talk about security. We talk about these things all the time on this show. Crime is out of control. Illegal immigration is out of control. Crime by illegal immigrants is out of control. And if you're a business owner, safety and security should be top of mind. And that's why you want to reach out to my friends at McCausland Lock and Alarm. Access control and CCTV for your business. Access control, key card systems, CCTV, cameras to protect your facilities, protect your business. That's what you need. That's what you need as a business owner in this day and age, because there's too many, you just can't risk it. And you can't rely on prosecutors anymore to actually go after the people that would try to steal what's most important to you and your assets. But you need my buddy Tom McCausland. He will do a great job for you and ensure that your business and your assets are safe. 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm. 610-430-1500. And look, there are a lot of alarm companies out there. You know what makes this different? Tom works with you directly. This is not this giant corporation. You're going to call up an 800 number needing help and get lost in the abyss of the numbers. No, you're going to talk to Tom. He'll help you. Somebody close to him on his team, they will get back to you and always help you every step of the way. Protecting your environment, ensuring that only the right people are getting access to your facilities is crucial. Ensuring the bad guys and girls, bad people, stay out. Crucial. So, 610-430-1500. 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm. Securing your business, securing your future.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, yeah, baby, a little meatloaf for you. Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to pop that up. Go ahead. Come on. So good. So good. All right. Thank you for watching us on YouTube. 1210 WPHT is our YouTube page. We'd love to have you join us for that. The Lesser Casey has an ad out now where he's saying he agrees with Donald Trump on trade. What does that mean? You know what that means? That's exactly what that means. The Lester Casey knows Trump is going to win, and the Lester Casey wants to somehow try to save his seat when he knows that Trump is going to win. But I'm telling you, Trump wins PA, McCormick wins PA too. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He wins, Trump wins, Casey wins, McCormick wins too. Bottom line. That's the bottom line right there. And I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a great night for all of us. I think it's going to be a very, very good night in Pennsylvania. My opinion. Tomorrow night, I'll be on Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Failla, 10 p.m. on the Fox News channel. Please tune in. I don't know if anybody on the panel, and Jimmy's a comedian, another comedian's going to be on the panel. I'm not a comedian, but, you know, some people think I can be funny every now and then. It happens, you know. I don't know if anyone is going to be able to top Trump from last night at the Al Smith dinner, because he was on fire. He was on fire. Let me just play a quick clip of this, too, of Trump. And we have this on video, too. First of all, let me do this. Let's see. Cut number two. This is a shorter cut. But if you remember back to 2016, the first time that her name came up during actually it was 2015, presidential debate, you'll appreciate this one. Cut number two.
The stupid show, The View, is so bad now that the other day I was watching it and thinking to myself, you know what? They really need to bring Rosie O'Donnell back.
And this might be my favorite joke of the night. Well, one of my favorite jokes of the night. the white dudes for Harris, the beta dudes for Harris, the beta males for Harris. cut number three.
There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Does anybody know? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me. Every one of those people is.
There's a term. Cuck, you probably have heard that term before. It's not a curse word, but it implies somebody who likes to watch their wife with another man. Beta would be the first word there and use that. Anyway, that's kind of what Trump is referring to in that. I thought that was hysterical. And Chuck Schumer, I have two of my other favorite jokes, too. Let's see. What was the one that I had where he, let's see. There's so many here. All right, let's do this one. This is making fun of Chuck Schumer last night. Cut number four.
Coming in very, very strong a certain way. I won't tell you what way that is, but Chuck Schumer is here looking very glum. Doesn't he look glum? He looks glum. But look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become, If Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president.
That's great. That's very good. He was really funny. He was very funny last night. And I think Trump's so good at that stuff. It's probably the reason why Kamala Harris decided to skip it, because she knows she's not funny. At some point, I'll play you the dumb skit that they put out last night with her and Molly Shannon from Saturday Night Live doing that Mary Catherine whatever from like 20 years ago. Not funny. Cringeworthy in every single way, shape, or form. Here's Trump poking some fun at Mayor Adams and also the illegal immigration issue in our country. Cut number 11.
Well, I'd better wrap up because Mayor Adams told me earlier that I needed to make this one very quick, especially the city has reserved this room for a large group of illegal aliens coming in from Texas. That's right. They've reserved many rooms, a lot of rooms, too many rooms.
That's right. Too many rooms. And then he made fun of Tim Walz. But Jim Gaffigan last night was terrific. Jim Gaffigan, who plays Tim Walz on Saturday Night Live and does a great job, brought up the point about how many Catholics are in this country and the fact that the Catholic vote it matters, and the fact that Kamala Harris wasn't there at the Al Smith dinner. So to put that in context for you, let me play you this clip from Jim Gaffigan from last night at the dinner, if I can find it here. Yeah, let's start with cut number 15.
You know, take this event has been referred to as the Catholic Met Gala. 22% of Americans identify as Catholic. Catholics will be a key demographic in every battleground state. I'm sorry, why is Vice President Harris not here? I mean, consider this. This is a room full of Catholics and Jews in New York City. This is a layup for the Democratic nominee. I mean, in her defense, I mean, she did find time to appear on The View, Howard Stern, Colbert, and the longtime staple of campaigning, the Call Her Daddy podcast.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And then Gaffigan went on to talk about why Biden couldn't be there last night. He also makes a joke about a coup, and I'll play that in the 4 o'clock hour. But this is Gaffigan from last night, cut 16.
Catholic president, right? After JFK, President Biden couldn't be here tonight. The DNC made sure of that. I guess I'm the only one that reads history.
Good stuff. All right, listen, we got a big 4 o'clock hour coming up for you. We also have later in the show Dinesh D'Souza joining us, Dr. Wilfred Riley joining us. We're going to get into the economic numbers of everything. But I got to tell you, it's almost winter. It's hard to believe. But before we know it, Election Day is going to be here, and then Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then winter. If you've got water problems on your yard, you got to deal with them now. You don't want to wait till then. You want to reach out to my buddy, Lou Vargo, today at Garden State Earthworks. Just go to GardenStateEarthworks.com or call them at 856-848-4444. Now, listen, first of all, water problems never get better on their own. No way. You got to have a professional deal with it. And you don't want to just use any old landscaper. You need the expert. That's Garden State Earthworks. And I know because I've used them in two different homes. They solved my wet basement problem years ago, and they drained our backyard. Our backyard was like a swamp. It's very busy, especially this time of year, because smart people know they got to deal with this before winter comes and that water freezes and thaws and freezes and thaws. So reach out to Lou today by calling 856-848-4444. Tell him I sent you. He'll make you a priority. Or go to GardenStateEarthworks.com. Don't mess around with this. Take these water problems seriously with the only guy I recommend, the guy that I personally use, GardenStateEarthworks.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.